cycling isn't just cycling. It can be cycling or cycling or even cycling. Peloton isn't just one thing. We have classes that will ease you in and classes that'll make you sweat and a range of instructors so you can find your match. Whatever you're in the mood for, we can get you in the zone. See for yourself with a worry-free 30-day home trial. Visit onepeloton.com/home-trial. Terms apply.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 30th day. Oh boy, one more day. Just in a couple hours, it starts the left's high unholy day. That's right. Their big day, Halloween, to the left out there, to the Democrats, is like Resurrection Sunday to us. Anyhow, and that just starts in a couple hours here on the East Coast. And tonight we have none other. Well, we've got that amazing Derek. He's our producer tonight. Hello, Derek. Derek.
His shyness is overwhelming.
You know, I said amazing, Derek, right?
Yeah, you said something good about him. Yeah.
Don't worry, I figured it all out. I heard everything.
All righty. And then we have someone a whole lot prettier than Joe and I, and that is Miss Wendy Wilson. Hey, Wendy.
Oh, good evening, Pastor.
How are you?
Hi, Wendy.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
And then we have the Missouri legend. The Missouri legend.
Yeah.
Yep. They call it.
Just an old-fashioned truth teller that you can't keep quiet.
Yeah.
Glad to be here.
With the emphasis on old. But
yeah.
That's okay. That's okay. All right. We're here. Now, listen. We're going to do something a little different today. I have an unusual prayer request. This prayer request comes from Egypt. There's a fellow in Egypt who wants us to pray for him. He needs our prayers. His name is Reggie. Reggie. And what has happened with Reggie? Reggie, he works with buying quantities of like stocks of beans and things like this for companies. And he's been doing this for a long, long time, hasn't, you know, always had a good reputation, family and everybody. But he got swindled. He got conned, a couple of con men got a hold of him. And they got him for $165,000. Well, in Egypt, what happens, if you lose that money or if you owe that money, you have a little amount of time to pay it. Or if you can't pay it, you go to jail. You go right to jail. It's not like it is here. And that's what his family is just absolutely beside themselves, worried about him going to jail. And so, and I've talked to several of them. They're telling me that he's an honest man and an upright man. He's a good longtime Christian. So let's just hold this whole mess up to the Lord. Now, folks out there, remember, Today is Reggie. Tomorrow it could be you. And maybe tonight it's you. But join with us in praying for this man. This man has requested prayer. He wants you to pray for him. And when the time comes, when you need that prayer, there'll be those there for you. I know if we know about it, we'll be there. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I want to hold him up, this Reggie up. Well, I don't know all the details. All I know is what I've been told by the family. And so we just want to hold his situation up to you and ask, Lord, for your perfect will, because you're a holy and you're a merciful and you're an absolutely just God. For your intercession in this, Lord, that you would bring the wicked, the con men to repentance, and you would set this whole thing straight. And, Lord, you would make it so that he doesn't have to go to jail for any reason. Restore him to his family. These things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
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 All right, so tonight we're going to start. The title of the message, Joe, do you remember what the title of the message is?
Traitories, Then and Now.
Hey, let's ask Wendy. Hey, Wendy, what is a traitory?
A traitor.
That's right. They've shortened the name. That's what they were called to begin with back in the days of the founding, the Revolution. They were referred to as traitor Tories, but then, of course, they shortened it just to Tory. And so today we would probably look at that in comparison to our rhinos and political party, would we not?
Right.
So I'm going to start off with a little bit of commentary here. In the early days of the birth of America, freedom was so desired and sought after by brave men and their families that they were willing to trade their blood and their lives to obtain it. The overwhelming odds against them by the military might of the British Empire was not enough to extinguish that flame of faith and trust in an omnipotent and merciful potentate, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. After all, he was their God, and they were his children. They knew that he had given Gideon and his band of 300 the ability to defeat over 40,000 of the enemy. They knew that resistance to tyranny was a command by God, and that he always, always honored their commitment to obedience. They knew that freedom is always purchased at a great price. They knew that they were up against the world's best trained and equipped British army. And yet, in the depths of their very souls, they knew that among them walked an even more lethal enemy, the traitor Tories. And again, today, traitor Tories, again, were like our rhinos of today. We considered them, they're lesser men whose safety and comfort always meant more than their honor and integrity. And the reason why they're so dangerous is because they walk right among us. We know them by their fruits, the Bible says. But sometimes, you know, they share the same rides. They sit in the same restaurants. Sometimes they live in the same homes. And even sometimes they sleep in the same bed. And so, again, the Bible tells us very clearly that we'll know them by their fruits. And we'll get to that. But we're going to start tonight in Matthew chapter 10. And Joe and Wendy, I just read an article here about talking about how our side has always made the mistake of being less critical and more accepting the opposition and allowing them to be more aggressive than we are. In other words, we allow them to lie to us and say, well, that's just what they do. To steal from us, well, that's just what they do. We're seeing, we watched them with the election fraud right out in your face, open election fraud, stealing elections, just not like now. You've seen what they're doing when they're going after President Trump. They know that Joe Biden doesn't stand a chance in an illegal election of beating President Trump. He doesn't stand a chance, an Ice Cube in Hell chance. So they know what they're going to have to try to do. They've got to try to stop Trump. They, no matter how false the charges, their judges are corrupt. They've all gone absolutely corrupt. Their lawyers, absolutely corrupt. Just unbelievable, the corruption. And what we're seeing, that there's absolutely nothing anymore. There's not one thing, nothing within the Democratic Party and their platform that has not been corrupted. You can't find anything in there that has not been corrupted. Nothing. And if you took any Democratic congressman and a number of the Republicans too, and you try to put them on trial and try to prove that there was anything good, because the Bible says they've all gone absolutely corrupt there, you wouldn't be able to do it. Think about that. Do you think if we had the best legal team in the country, we could try to ever prove that Merrick Garland ever told the truth in his life, that we could do it? I mean, this is what we've come to. And what's happened is our side has been stupid. I mean, I got to tell you, our side has been stupid. No place in the Beatitudes, no place does it say blessed are the stupid. That, unfortunately, has been taught from the pulpits. And so, folks, America can no longer, the church in America, you and I, in this country, we can no longer sit back and allow this to continue. We can't.
Amen. You know, I had written something as you were talking. We have confused tolerance with stupidity and inaction.
Absolutely. That's exactly
right. So God is giving the message loud and clear, right? Because you were saying it on the radio, I was writing it just before you said it. We have confused that Christian tolerance with stupidity and inaction and lack of self-defense.
Absolutely. And here in Ohio, we're fighting here with everything we have. We're being outspent. The opposition, the deep state, the satanic, and I mean, when I tell you the satanic communist left, the Democrat left, they've outspent us 3-1. They've got all of this money coming from demonic places like George Soros. And here, this issue one, if passed, Wendy, would legalize baby killing unrestricted, without any restrictions at all. Wendy, it would legalize prostitution. It would legalize child prostitution. See, people out there, they don't understand this. They don't say, well, we understand that the way it's worded would allow that, but we don't really think that the left would go for that. If you think that, you are stupid. If you think that, you are a stupid person, because they will do whatever they can do. There is no limit to their evil. In other words, read Romans chapter 1, okay? They have become totally reprobate. This is why they're pushing this. Now, you will not find one member, one lying ACLU lying lawyer. You will not find one ACLU lying lawyer out there that would be willing to come in and sit across from me in the studio here and debate this. If there is one ACLU lying lawyer willing to do that, my phone number is 440-338-1367. That's 440-338-1367. And if you can't get me on that, then 440-338-1036. 440-338-1036. If there's one lying liberal ACLU lawyer, because they wrote up the wording and they did this wording to make everything, every single thing that God's Word the Bible calls unclean, every single thing that God's Word the Bible calls an abomination, These wicked, unclean people have written up this so-called amendment to the Constitution to include that.
And so it's not just about abortion, right?
That's right.
It would legalize abortion, but what else did you say it would legalize?
Prostitution, child prostitution. It would legalize if you have, if your child decides, well, you know, if your boy decides he wants to become a girl and go get castrated, and you say, no, 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 you're not doing that, then they will charge you. The way that that is worded, you cannot in any way interfere with it, anything that they decide to do with their own bodies. And that includes their parents. In other words, if they decide to go out to get pregnant, have sex with their own bodies, and you try to stop them from even doing that, they can sue their parents. This is the way that this, see, now the ACLU has been pushing for a legislation that would legalize pedophilia, and this is their way of getting around to it. Right now, I mean, they've been trying to introduce legislation. In fact, I've got that information. We'll get to that maybe a little later, but here it is. Let me just tell you, is sex work decriminalization the answer? And this is from the ACLU. For more than 40 years, the ACLU has advocated for the decriminalization of sex work. While sex workers themselves have spoken about the harms of criminalization efforts. Well, this is a long article, but once we get into it, we'll do that later. It shows you they want to legalize pedophilia, too. There's nothing that these people, they have become so corrupted, completely corrupted, completely.
Well, they've been trying for 40 years that I'm aware of to lower the age of consent. They're always pushing for younger and younger children to be able to have sex with adults.
And they're trying to change the terminology, too.
Yeah.
And so let's start tonight in Matthew chapter 10, and let's start in verse. Let's take it verse by verse. Okay, so go ahead and start with verse 5, Joe.
These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not.
All right, but keep going.
But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Okay, what did he mean by that?
Well, first he was to bring the message to his own chosen people. And so he's sending out his 12. And what are they supposed to do? Preach the kingdom of heaven, that Christ the Savior, the Messiah, is here. The kingdom of God is on earth at hand now.
Okay. And so now he sent these out. He sent these 12 out. And they were to go to all the national leaders. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Were they familiar with Isaiah 53?
Oh, I'm very sure, because when Jesus preached, he used what the Bible he had, the Old Testament.
All right, so now he sends them out, and he tells them, what was it the Jews required a sign, didn't they?
Right, they needed signs, so he gave them the power to, in verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give.
All right, so now, Here, they've asked for a sign. He has sent this out, this sign there. I'm going to jump over very quick to chapter 11 and verse 25, chapter 11, 2 through 5. Now here he goes and he says, now when John had heard in the prison that the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and he said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. So why do you think he said that?
That just basically, that was the proof. That was the proof that he was the Messiah. He just, instead of answering the question, here's the proof. Go tell John you've seen the proof.
So in the Old Testament, it said here, when you see these things, when Messiah comes, yeah, these are the things he's going to do, huh?
Mm-hmm. When you see him, you will see these things.
All righty. And so we go back. Let's go back here and pick it up where we left off at verse 9 and read verse 9 all the way through 14.
All right. Provide neither gold nor silver, no brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who it in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when you come to a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of the house or city, shake off the dust of your feet.
Okay, stop there now. Okay, here. So once the gospel of Christ had been presented to the hearers, to those out there, they would clearly understand. Now, what was the difference between those in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah? Because he says in the next verse, verily I say unto you, it should be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So now these were Israeli cities. These were the Jews. Were they familiar? In other words, did they know about the prophecies concerning the coming Messiah? Were they aware of Isaiah 53?
Sure. They knew. They knew the prophecies. They knew about the coming of the Messiah. And they should have been looking and waiting for him.
Okay, so when they knew, this is why he said when you came to that house, they understood this. And if they rejected him, now, had he, when he had said the kingdom of heaven is at hand, had they accepted Messiah, had they accepted Christ for who he was, then the millennial kingdom would have been ushered in right then, wouldn't it?
Right then and there, yes, indeedy.
Okay, but they rejected him. And so here, what about those in Sodom and Gomorrah? Had they known about the coming of a Messiah? Were they aware that of Isaiah 53?
No.
No, they weren't. So even though their sin was described as by God, it's very, very grievous, very grievous. Sodomy, LGBTQ, is very grievous. It's very offensive to God, okay? But as offensive as it was, then they weren't rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in rejecting,
they were being sinful, rejecting God, but it was anything God had put out in the world. But rejecting his son is about the worst thing he could think of, to God.
Absolutely. And so,
rejecting your own salvation, rejecting God's greatest sacrifice to mankind, his greatest gift, that's a pretty terrible thing.
Okay, so here now, what they've done is, well, let's do this. Let's jump over very quickly to Hebrews chapter 10. I want to jump to Hebrews chapter 10. And in Hebrews 10, okay, read verses 26 to 31.
Okay, 26 through 31. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much more sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under the foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
Okay, we're going to stop right here and pick that up tomorrow, because there's a lot there, and do some commentary on that. But we'll be back right after this.
Now here's a song for all of you liberals who believe your ways are best, who don't mind overcrowding this nation with a swarm of foreign immigrants, who don't care about the population, who don't care if it's fouling our nest. When are you ever gonna read the writing upon the wall? We got crime overtaking our cities, we got gangs taking over our streets, we keep handing out more and more welfare, though it never seems to meet their needs. What kind of culture are we cultivating? One where you never have to pull any weeds. If we don't stop this immigration, this great nation's gonna fall. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time that we close up that gate. Now can't you see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist state? Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. How can we ever come to any solution when all we ever do is debate? We've got to get a tighter grip on our borders. We've got to seriously legislate and quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist and quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time we start closing that gate. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration in these great United States. Let's get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time that we close a bad gate. Can't you see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist police state? Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration in these great United States.
Alrighty, we are back, and tonight we have with us Miss Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com. And folks, Wendy, you got what's going on in Wendy's world?
Well, I came across some information on viruses and what happens to you when you have a virus, how it affects your bones. And a lot of people don't realize that, you know, just having a flu bug can do that. Did you know that, Pastor?
No. I keep my bones
under wraps.
From,
Well, the big picture is when it comes to disease outbreaks, it isn't just about pre-existing health conditions or immunity, although they do play a part. It's also about our external environment that can also play a vital role in our survival. So survival can be a bit complicated. There can be varied reasons why one person recovers from a pandemic-like disease and another does not. So it's assumed by science that your age, your frailty, and your underlying health conditions are to blame for the high-risk category, the mortality of a lot of people. But that just seems to be part of the reason, Pastor. There was this study, researchers at Manchester University in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and the University of Colorado at Boulder, they published some interesting results regarding the 1918 influenza, the Spanish flu. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
So the researchers did get their work published in the October 2023 Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. So they were looking over the documents regarding the flu outbreak that was said to have killed, 50 million people worldwide? And in some areas, it was thought that the flu impacted the young and the healthy more so than any other demographic. But the scientists wanted to investigate if that scenario was true, and it seems to be, to them, a disproportionate statistic that, you know, contradicts what outbreaks do. So in the historical documents in the 1918 flu, they were relying back then on census data, life insurance records, and other vital statistics. So this is kind of after-the-fact data, and it really didn't include any details the researchers wanted on things like pre-existing conditions, what was going on in the environment, were there chronic stressors, you know, what were the lifestyles of the victims. So these are essential factors, they say, that impacts a person's health and the importance when establishing, you know, how this flu killed so many in a short time. So they said it was a massive event. The influenza of 1918 was overwhelming, with so many people becoming ill and dying fast. So the medical professionals of that day had little time to investigate and basically made educated guesses what they believed happened. And one of the assumptions was that the young and healthy were also as vulnerable in particular to this flu like the old and the frail patients, which that doesn't make sense to the scientists. So they dug through the remaining documents. The researchers couldn't find anything to validate that assumption, so they decided, hey, we're going to have to determine this risk, this statistic, this particular influenza on our own and examine the remains of the victims. So bones tend to speak, they say, and the researchers, they didn't have to exhume any bodies from the 1918 flu because 369 bodies are already housed at the Cleveland Museum of Natural History. I didn't know that, Pastor. Did you?
No, I didn't. I didn't know that.
So they have these skeletal remains there. They've collected people who died between 1910 and 1938. So the collection would offer a good control group of what may have happened before, during, and after this pandemic. So what they did is they used two groups of the remains, people who died before the pandemic and those who died during the pandemic. So they wanted to get a snapshot of what these people were living through to offer them more details. And so, you know, why so many perished from this flu. So they said, this is Amanda Whistler. She's with the Department of Anthropology at Manchester. She said, our circumstances, the social, the culture, the immunological, are all intertwined and have always shaped the life and death of people, even in the distant past. So we saw this during COVID-19, where our social backgrounds and our cultural backgrounds influenced who was more likely to die and who was likely to survive. So during their research, the team looked at bones to determine the age at death and any signs of health conditions. The researchers in particular looked at lesions on bones, which indicate a mass of abnormal tissue when bones start to remodel and grow and divide. So lesions tend to highlight changes and damage, often indicating an infection. So what the bones seem to indicate is that the presence of lesions indicate that the person was susceptible to dying of the flu, and signs of previous stress, either environmental, social, or nutritional, were to play. So if a person is like suffering conditions of, let's say, malnutrition or living in poor conditions, this will leave a lasting impression on your bones. And there are signs of irregular bone growth, defects in the teeth, bones not healing properly after a trauma, and other things like that. So the researchers did pay particular attention to the shin bones, Pastor, them shin bones there. The new bone formations and the absence from trauma could indicate inflammation caused by an infection. And it's possible to determine if a bone lesion was active and in the middle of healing or had completely healed, providing evidence of underlying conditions. So their bones can tell you about poor outcomes. The researchers were also looking at a number of conditions that the victims likely suffered from, made them more vulnerable. They were looking for signs of asthma and congestive heart failure in particular. So diabetes, though, Pastor, wasn't a factor in the early 1900s. So we do see more people with underlying health conditions struggle more during the COVID pandemic. Pulmonary heart conditions made people weaker and in a higher risk category from dying from flu. Other conditions that can weaken a person's health are social and environmental, things like racism, discrimination, persecution, and mental health issues. So these conditions can magnify poor health or make it more likely to, for us to die from infectious diseases compared to healthier peers. But you know what I would add to that list, Pastor? I would add tyranny to the list of social pressures. They left that off of there.
Well, that's what we have a whole lot of today, don't we?
Yeah,
they
sure
they,
do.
Yeah, they said the results of the work counter the narrative and the anecdotal accounts of the time. They said this paints a very complicated picture of life and death during the 1918 pandemic. But you know what, Pastor? There was some information that was totally ignored. And so I think pandemics that we see tend to have a little nudge, if you know what I mean.
Oh, so, yeah, I certainly do.
So in 2010, the National Library of Medicine, Center for Biotechnology, they published a report on, get this, quote, many vaccines developed and used during 1918 and 1919. So they went on to say that the medical literature on these treatments were, quote, full of contradictory claims and no consensus on how to judge the report of the results of their use, end of quote. So I believe it's because the vaccines were the catalyst for the virulent 1918 flu outbreak. No drug company or scientist wanted to accept that, and the vaccine caused the pandemic. However, it was evident with, you know, how many military men died while in boot camp. They didn't even get to the front. More people died in boot camp. So still the drug companies had stockpiled this vaccine product, and they needed to sell it as much of it as they could. So then they started a worldwide distribution and a civilian campaign, similar to the campaign you saw with the 1976 swine flu.
Swine flu, yep.
So science was experimenting with vaccines in the early 1900s like they are today, and similarly they are using the public to test them on. So in the early 1900s, science was ignorant of how the human immune system worked and how infections were cleared, especially when given in a vaccine situation. So the vaccines of 1918 were promoted as a prevention treatment, first given to the military and then to the civilians. So the death and the disease rate among the vaccinated was four times higher than among the unvaccinated. And in 1918, the people were told it's their patriotic duty for every man, woman, and child to get protected and get it vaccinated. Essentially, the same type of message that was promoted during the COVID pandemic. Remember those that weren't going to get vaccinated? They were kind of, you know, criticized?
Oh, boy, were they criticized. They were called traitors. They were responsible. You know, they said all kinds of nasty things. And I remember Sean Hannity was on that bandwagon saying those people that, you know, didn't get vaccinated were not patriots.
Right. So in 1918, flu was said to be a worldwide thing, and the vaccines were distributed worldwide. But a few countries, like Greece, they didn't accept the vaccines, and interestingly, they had no flu cases. Likewise, those in the United States who rejected the 1918 vaccine, they didn't fall ill to the flu. Actually, they were caring for the sick. So vaccines are really not a modern scientific treatment. Scientists have been experimenting with vaccines for hundreds of years. In the 1800s, I read about a German chemist. He discovered that different proteins in his serums that he was making produced different allergies in people. He boasted he could make a person allergic to anything. So vaccines are artificial infections, are biologically unnatural, and they cause a lot of health problems. And the literature is there to prove it. People just don't read it. So kind of interesting that the National Library of Medicine Biotechnology published a finding in December 2020 that the COVID-19 was causing inflammation and bone lesions, and this was after the vaccine was given to the public. So sometimes, you know, the cause is staring us right in the face, right? And history repeats itself when we don't learn from it. There was 58 years between the 1918 and the 1976 pandemic. There were 47 years between the 1976 and the 2020 pandemic. Well, with all this technology moving at such a fast rate, I don't think there'll be 10 years before the next pandemic, Pastor.
Well, right here in Cleveland, the Cleveland Clinic had come out with and saying something that we all knew about. I think it's been about a year since they came out, and they said, well, our research has found that people that have gotten the vaxes, the shots, are four times more likely to get COVID.
Yep. Right.
Now they've said this. So if you're four times more likely to get COVID, you're four times more likely to die of COVID. And guess what? After saying that, after coming out and saying, look, this is him. Now, they didn't say it in these words, but the message was there. We think you people are so stupid that even after we've just come out, we've told you you're four times more likely to get COVID if you get the shot, and we're still promoting the shot. We're still telling you come in and come on and get the shot. So what are they telling the people?
Right. Well, and the same statistic with the Spanish flu in 1918, they were four times higher to get sick if they got the vaccine. Same statistic.
Well, Bill Gates made it clear. He said, "It's acceptable as long as it's planned. As long as if you want to commit genocide on people and kill them off, if it's planned, as long as you let them know it's planned, then it's acceptable." Now there are people out there.
As long as you made it clear, we're coming for you.
Yeah, I mean,
wow.
How?
What kind of a psychotic mind is that? You know?
Well, he's backed up by George Soros and all of the fake news media. And like I was saying earlier, here in Ohio, for every dollar that we spend trying to save babies and try to stop, you know, issue one, the dirty money, the dark and dirty money from dark and dirty people, these are the same people behind this issue one. The same people are behind the child sex trafficking and all of the and the fentanyl and every evil thing out there. It's the same dark, dirty money coming in here. And this is what we're trying to explain to people. But if the American people are going to stay dumbed down, then they deserve every bad thing that's happened to them. They really do. If they deserve.
Well, I mean, they're getting a lot of, you know, fluoride, and that's a neurotoxin that makes you docile and stupid, you know?
Yeah.
So, but you know, our Creator, Pastor, has provided us with some powerful medicinal plants to help us combat plagues like this. Examples would be your thyme herb, thyme, as a very natural inhibitor for tuberculosis. Science already knows this. The pitcher's plant has a natural inhibitor to smallpox. Science has tested it, and they already know this. The gentian root has a natural inhibitor to Ebola or other hemorrhagic fevers. They know this too. So this isn't folklore, but this is scientific fact. So drug companies are trying to find the compounds in these plants that would protect you from these diseases, and they want to make drugs with them. However, drugs offer side effects due to the fact that you have to alter them to qualify for a patent. So in the meantime, though, we have access to the original plants and have that power at our disposal right now. And science would have you think that you are defenseless to, you know, and to these illnesses, and but you're really not. You're really not. Otherwise, you know, why would scientific research be looking into the plants? See? We have all those herbs, you know, we hear at Apothecary Herbs, you know, we have a lovely pandemic kit that gives people options as well and other things. So I tell people, investigate your options, investigate all therapies recommended to you, ask questions, because, you know, your life may depend on it.
Let me ask you a question then.
I was going to ask one.
Go ahead, Joe.
Well, does science look at these and figure out, are they trying to make a copy, an artificial copy of what's in the different plants that has this medicinal effect? It seems like they go out of their way to avoid using it, but they can't find a way to make money using the plant or the genetic material inside the plant?
Well, they've picked up the pace, Pastor Joe, in looking at a lot of your medicinal herbs, because a lot of your infectious diseases are now, you know, antibiotic resistant, your bacteria especially. So so they're looking for a new line of drugs. So they've turned to some ancient texts and stuff like that to find what they can, you know, dig into. So, yeah, they've actually, people talk about garlic and the health authorities, you know, poo-poo garlic, saying that there's no value in garlic. Well, there's been over 100 studies, scientific studies on garlic. Why do they continue to study garlic then if there's nothing there? Garlic's complicated. Garlic has a lot of alkaloids in it, a lot of nutritional elements, and you can't just strip them apart and you get the same effect. That's their problem. And the other problem is you have to alter it in order to get a patent on it. So it can't be just like, you know, nature made it or God made it.
Right.
So yeah,
key then, right there. You said the key, because they can't get a patent on it. They can't create a combination that will equal what the actual garlic does. So that's what the big problem. It's non-patentable, so they can't make the money.
Right, and that's the dilemma. You know, they probably know of a couple of compounds in garlic that works very well on bacteria, but it's not going to work the same without the other alkaloids with it. And they can't have the other alkaloids with it and still get a patent. So the patent rules have changed. And there has to be a significant change. You cannot have it, you know, looking like its natural form in order to get a patent. So,
right.
You know, and this is why you have side effects, because they did change things when they used to use all of the nutritional elements from plants. Now only, I think, 2%. Everything's synthetic. But they had to change it in order for it to get patented. And what happens is, let's just give you an example. Aspirin, they extracted salicin from the willow bark and meadow sweet to make aspirin. They were looking for an anti-inflammatory, and salicin has that action in it. So when they strip it of the other mineral alkaloids and things, what happens is the uptake and the absorption changes, and then your body uses it differently. So that's why you have a bleeding, hemorrhaging risk with aspirin, and it interferes with the immune system by lowering fever. But your original salicin in the plants doesn't have that side effect.
Yeah, so if you wanted that, is there a way to get the benefit of the plant without just eating bark or something?
Oh, yeah.
Do you get the natural herbs out of it?
Yeah, so you have a tincture, or you make a tea, the same thing. Teas are weaker than tinctures, though. But, yeah, willow bark and meadow sweet have salicin in them. If you isolate salicin, it becomes acetyl salicylic acid, and that's what your aspirin product is. But, yeah, willow bark and meadow sweet are awesome stuff. I mean, willow bark is what I believe Washington's army, in the winter, what was that, Valley Forge of the winter, they had no supply, so they were taking bark off the willow bark tree and making tea, and they survived through the winter just drinking that.
Now, that's something you don't read in the history books. I didn't see that anywhere, and I've read a lot on that subject.
Yeah, your herbs are very compact in nutritional elements. You got a lot of vitamins, minerals, enzymes, amino acids, proteins in there. So that's why a lot of times they're bitter. And you would just take a little bit because they're so bitter, because they're so strong. So that's the difference between your medicinal plants and your nutritional plants. Strawberry is very sweet. You can eat a ton of that. But on the bitter alkaloids and some of your medicinal herbs, you're not going to eat a lot of it. And it's for a good reason. God didn't want you to eat a lot.
Yeah, you would overdose on it, maybe.
Well, I mean,
it takes more than you need to make it work.
Yeah, well, the body has some safety mechanisms. I mean, normally if you take in too much, sometimes you'll throw up, and that's just a safety feature. Actually, that's one of the alkaloids in lobelia plant. It works like an emetic if you take too much, so you can't overdose on it.
Let me ask you this, okay? Iodine, where do we get iodine?
Well, they have synthetic iodines now, but black walnut is a natural iodine product, and it actually looks like that amber golden color on the skin. It's dark, but when it dries, it looks like that amber color.
So what do you have to do, crush the nuts up
No, when I say black walnut, people think I'm talking about the nuts, but it's, if you ever see a black walnut tree,
I got a bunch of them right out here in my yard.
They look like big green balls in summer, spring and summer, and then you get to fall, they turn dark and fall off the tree. In the summertime, those outer hulls are very strong. So if you notice, the squirrels wait until the fall when they turn dark. The outer hull softens, and they can get to the nut inside. But it's not the nut we want. It's the substance between the nut and the outer hull. It's this black stuff. Now, if it's a very wet season, it's going to be kind of, liquidy and almost like molasses. If it's been a dry season, it'll be powdery. But that's what we're looking for with all the natural iodine in it.
Okay, the reason I'm asking that is Switzerland mails iodine tablets to 5 million residents in case of a nuclear war. Mm-hmm. Take at request of authorities. And so here, Biden has been trying to get us into a war with Russia. They're really pushing out there today. So anyhow... But if I wanted to get these...
Yeah, they sell sodium chloride tablets and the iodine. So your ocean salt, your sea salt, it's got sodium chloride plus all the other minerals in it that it's better for you. It's got 84 microminerals. It's a whole food salt. And then your black walnut, that's what I would be using.
Okay,
sure.
Do you carry any of that? You're not
We're out of the salt until the first of the year because the distributor from France can't get any. I don't know why. But anyway, we have some salt shakers full of salt and some grinders, but we're out of the bags right now.
Okay. What about iodine?
That's the iodine is the black walnut product, and we have it in an aged concentrate. It's a liquid. So it's really dark. So when you use it, be careful. Don't get on your clothes. It'll stain your clothes. They used to use black walnuts, Pastor, to give color to rawhide for making saddles. They give that dark ebony look.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I get a supplies of that in case of Biden
gets
into war.
Yeah, tanners used to use the black walnut. But you know what? Tomorrow's the last day of our harvest sale. So if people want to save 15%, tomorrow's the last day.
You know what? We're up against a hard break. You can bring that up right on the other side of this. So hang tight, and we'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away. More to come.
Lots of channels. Nothing to watch, especially if you're searching for the truth. It's time to interrupt your regularly scheduled programs with something actually worth watching. Salem News Channel. straightforward, unfiltered, with in-depth insight and analysis from the greatest collection of conservative minds, like Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Sebastian Gorka, and more. Find truth. Watch 24/7 on SNC.TV and on Local Now, Channel 525.